Well, this man has come to Jesus in quite a state this morning, filled with passion and heart, and making a little bit of a fool of himself. It would have been utterly improper for a man of his stature to run, because it probably would have exposed his ankle and shins, and that would have been embarrassing. And he makes even more of a scene, God bless him, by flinging himself dramatically on his knees in front of Jesus. And I think we could be forgiven for thinking what's going on with him is maybe a little too much, a little too overwrought. The man is maybe a little too caught up in the drama of his own life with him in the starring role. We could be forgiven, I think, from wanting to roll our eyes just a little bit and sighing, "Oh, brother." But this question that he has for Jesus is one that matters to us too, a lot. What must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? What must I do to share in the love and goodness and wisdom of God that is pouring out at every moment, even now? What must I do to know God's great goodness till at last my heart is found in God's heart forever? What must I do? For this man, Jesus says that he needs to unload his possessions and take a deep breath and leave his old life behind and go ahead and jump straight into the deep end. Go ahead. No wading in by dribs and drabs, a little bit at a time from the shallow end. Follow me, Jesus says. Jump. Let go of your life. Stop trying to control so much. Trust God with what is to come next for you. Now, we do have our own part to play in this world. We have our lives to live that God has given us responsibility for. Yes. But it may be true as well that we forget too often that God has his part to do for each of us as well. Jesus' words hold before us this promise. Let go of your life and the thousand different ways we all have of trying to control what happens and what doesn't, who does what, who doesn't. Who acts the way that we think they ought to, and who doesn't, and all the rest. You do what is yours to do. Let God do what is God's to do. Now, I absolutely get that I am not the ruler of the universe. I am not in charge of figuring out how things should or should not happen. But that doesn't stop me from time to time from acting like I am. Of course, I am far too polite or a little too squeamish to actually say anything about how things happen, because that might sound judgmental, and I don't want to sound judgmental. But that doesn't stop me from thinking my own, "You know, if I were the ruler of the universe," thoughts. A couple of years in the springtime, I was home for the day, and I was working around my yard, and a chore that I'd set myself to do was to pick up the branches that a river birch in our front yard had been shedding. That included branches that had been shed, but that had not made it to the ground yet. They were stuck way up in the living branches of the tree. It's a beautiful tree But I wondered, why can't it just shed its lower branches first? You know, in order, and not willy-nilly like this. So I started picking up some branches on the ground, and as I stooped down, I saw a perfect, nearly white little egg. Perfect, except that it had been broken in half and was empty. And so I picked up the pieces in the palm of my hand and to consider the fate of the former passenger of this egg. A warm gust came upon me, puffing up the trees, and in the blink of an eye, it lifted those little shells out of my hand and tumbled them to the ground. Oh well, probably some stupid cat got it. I climbed up into the tree to pull some of the dead branches out of the living branches. And as I climbed higher and higher, like I said, they were perched and stuck into these other branches. I got just about as high as I dared to go, probably higher than I should have dared, because I heard my next door neighbor holler out, "Good Lord, David, what are you doing up there? Please be careful." I reached out and shimmied along the last large branch I could climb on and saw something. I wasn't sure if it was a miracle or a disaster about to happen. The branch that I was on was nearly parallel to the ground, and it branched out into a Y shape, and I was right there with a single branch wide into two branches, right in that place, was the most ridiculous bird's nest I had ever seen in my life. It looked like what you would get if you got a hunk of twigs and sort of went like that and then just plumped them down. I don't know what kind of bird makes a nest like that, but it was pretty obvious that nest making is not really their thing. So maybe the empty broken egg on the ground below didn't have anything to do with a stupid cat. Maybe it was just this precariously perched nest, this clump of twigs that provided very little protection. Now, you might think, well, maybe it wasn't really a nest. Maybe it's just a bunch of twigs that got caught in that place. And you might be right, except that sitting right there in the middle of that clump of twigs was one perfect round egg, the sister or brother of the one below, in color and shape. And inside was what could become a bird that would chirp and sing and dig grubs out of the ground or chase down mosquitoes or even someday ride a breeze aloft to your delight. That is, if it could survive the peril of this half-baked excuse for a nest. I thought maybe I could just fix it up a little bit. You know, improve it to increase the odds of this egg surviving. Or, okay, let's assume a breeze doesn't tumble it out. How is some brand new baby bird supposed to be sheltered in this bunch of twigs? I really cannot stress enough to you how poor a nest this was. If this baby bird took one half of one step in any direction, it would definitely fall, and a stupid cat would definitely come into play. A big gust of wind came up, and I could feel the branch that the egg and I were on begin to move and sway. And then I thought, it may be that whoever laid this egg knows exactly what she is doing in picking this spot, and whatever my thoughts on the matter might be, has made this nest precisely the way it's meant to be. There was the broken, empty egg on the ground, but eggs do get broken. There is no way around it. And there was still this one egg with life in it. A gust of wind picked up and blew hard for a minute, and my choice was either to stay where I was for whoever knows how long and make sure the egg didn't get tossed to the ground, or I could just climb out of the tree and let it be. The Hebrew word for spirit is ruach, and that word also means wind or breath. The Spirit of God is what first gave life to all life. It is the Spirit of God within all life that is giving life to you right now and at every moment. And it was that same Spirit blowing that day that I think showed me something of God's heart too. Because with the wind blowing and blowing and the limbs of the tree tossing and moving and swaying, and as I looked at that egg, I thought I saw something else too. I did see the egg in the nest, but I saw something else. Something like the earth. As delicate and precious as this egg, and precariously perched in the ferocious cold vacuum of space, but filled with the promise of God's life-giving Spirit, and placed right there by God in the shimmering darkness. It is the Spirit who gives life, and certainly doesn't require that I be the ruler of the universe, nor you. Yet there is one, the source of all life, who, remember the old hymn, whose eye is on the sparrow, and I know he's watching me and you. And this beautiful, beautiful world. Jesus says to the man, and to you, and to me, follow me. Amen.